Go.
Where's Joby?
Welcome back, college basketball Joby. Fans. This is
Joby,
our Big 12 preview podcast. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by David Griggs, John Titel.
Joby!
Joby Fortin is with us, everybody.
All yeah. right, yes, sir.
It's HD at its finest.
Yes.
Okay. We now have our full cast. Just for record's sake, again, we are recording this on October 15th in case anything changes from what we say. This is our Big 12 preview. And the very first thing we need for the Big 12, because we are talking this conference, I'll put it right up here on my screen. Yes, we have Trae Young's stat line. So we're good to go now.
He's got 12 ass. That's a great
assist.
Ass.
I'm taking it off.
Points, rebounds, and ass. All
right. Assists.
This is already our best podcast of the year.
Salika came along.
Yeah.
Assists. All right, David, you're that better. Okay.
Trae I liked Young's it better before.
Because it's but he's not even in the Big 12 anymore. But let's get right into it. And Joby, you're back. So let's start at the top of the Big 12. And the question, is Kansas not only the best team in the Big 12, but are they the best team in the nation?
That's a great – they're definitely the best team in the Big 12. I mean, it's kind of not even – I don't even think it's close. This isn't the case where we go, oh, can Oklahoma, you know, pop out and do it, you know, et cetera, with Buddy Hield, you know, a few years ago. No, they are clearly the class of the Big 12. They are certainly on probably everybody's short list for the Final Four. Best team in the country, it's tough for me to point someone out. Could be that – Duke freshman team. It could be, you know, there's other contenders for that, but they certainly are in the conversation. There is zero doubt about that.
Titel, what is your thoughts on the same exact question? How good is this Kansas team going to be?
This Kansas team has won at least a share of the Big 12 regular season title in 14 straight seasons. It is going to quickly become 15 straight seasons. Unprecedented, unbelievable on everything. When you have a team, I understand they lost guys to the NBA. When you bring back Azubuike, when you bring back LeGerald Vick, who I thought had 2 feet out the door, and you had all the transfers, Charlie Moore, KJ Lawson, Dedrick Lawson, every other Lawson you can think of, and you have a coach like Bill Self, the 2-time defending conference coach of the year. Like, I know the schedule is tough. I'll leave that to Stalika. It's got a lot of meat on it, but like, what am I missing? This team is going to be amazing.
You didn't even mention a guy like Quentin Grimes, who's probably a one and done, and it's going to be a stud there also. You've got depth, you've got everything on this team.
Yeah.
David, Kansas.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think the Big 12 is probably, in my opinion, it's the best conference. It has been the last couple of years, and they're the best team in it, and I think they're the best team in the country for all the reasons that have already been said. They're going to start off ranked number one. I know that they play a killer schedule, but I think that makes them stronger, not weaker. And I'm not going to go crazy and say that they're going to win all 40, but they are pretty – they're really good. Even by Kansas standards, they're good.
Well, Stalika, you're our schedule expert. Do the schedule say that they can go 40-0?
Well, they're going to have to overcome their demon against Villanova sometime in December. They'll also have Michigan State as part of that. I think it's a State Farm Champions Classic that's in Chicago. They have
way to go with the corporate sponsor there. The State Farm Champions Classic. All right.
But they also have the preseason NIT that features Marquette and either Louisville or Tennessee. And they also have a return trip to Arizona State, where one of the odd things about Kansas last year, they were surprisingly average at home in the fog with teams like Texas Tech, West Virginia, and Arizona State winning. But they were still a runaway number one because they were still road warriors.
Yeah, they were.
And Stalika, you're forgetting about their January non-conference game where they play Kentucky in the SEC Big 12 Challenge on top of that. So
I was just trying to be mindful of the puppet because we know which team really wants Kansas to play.
I haven't seen their schedule. Is there anybody else from the SEC they're playing? Anybody? Missouri? Are we going to get a game?
Could be playing Tennessee.
yes, it's a new season, and yes, the buzzer is back. And on that note, let me turn to beyond Kansas. Joby, I think there's one team that might have enough that if somehow Kansas didn't win this conference, they would be the second choice. Would you agree with me?
They are probably my number two, but I think there is – you know, we've talked about chasms before. This is, like I said in when I was talking about Kansas, this isn't Oklahoma and Buddy Hield, you know, with a legit Final Four team that could maybe knock them off. This isn't even Trae Young. Oklahoma to stay on the Oklahoma bandwagon early on. There is a chasm. No, Kansas State will not challenge Kansas for the regular season title. But that has a lot to say about Kansas, not that Kansas State is bad. Kansas State is going to be fighting and probably a protected seed. It might be a four, might be a high three or four, but they are a protected seed. They are very good. Wade and Brown are a nice pair coming back. Wade, you know, in particular, I'm a big fan of. This is a good Kansas State team, inside out, like it. And I think it's a very solid squad that will, you know, be playing probably the second weekend in March, legitimately this time, not just because UMBC beat somebody.
I believe it's their top six guys that are all going to be back from last year. Is that right?
Pretty much anybody of note for that K-State team is back. Tytel, 25 wins and Elite Eight appearance. How far can the team go?
I don't know if they can get back to the Elite Eight, although, like you said, if you have the history that you got there last year and then you bring back all these guys, I love that it's also veteran. It's not just they have some hotshot freshmen who got hot and now they're coming back and might have a sophomore jinx. Wade's a senior, Brown's a senior, Kamau Stokes a senior, Xavier Sneed a junior. So I like the experience. Maybe Sweet 16, but I think they are a good pick as the number two team in this conference.
I would agree. Well, I really like K-State this year.
Part of their path was easier last year when they got Creighton in the first round, UMBC in the second round, but they did win a virtual road game in Catlanta against Kentucky, but they couldn't overcome Loyola in the Elite Eight last year.
Yeah, no, it was still a really good run, and they were playing well down the stretch prior to that. I mean, I do think that the bracket collapsed, well, more than a little bit. It fell completely apart, but still, I really like this K-State team.
And what I point out in that Kentucky game, which is extremely important for this year, the well-rounded, is that Sneed scored over 20 in that game. And so that gives them a very good third score. I mean, when you have three legitimate scorers that can put up 20 at a moment's notice, that's tough to defend. I think Kansas will be able to do it, but not many others in the Big 12 will.
Well, David, beyond the two Kansas schools, who do you think is the third best team in the conferences?
I like West Virginia. I always like West Virginia, and this year's no different. I think they're going to be way up there again, pushing for a protected seed. They've had some turnover, but their defense is still really strong.
Well, Joby, 30 points and 10 assists per game from Carter and Miles are gone. Yeah. How do you make up for that?
Well, you have a great inside game, but you don't. I think West Virginia takes a step back precisely because Carter was so central. I mean, he wasn't just, you know, forget the statistics. It was the leadership on the floor. And I think that will be – I mean, I was a huge Javon Carter fan. I think they will miss him, and I do not think they will be – they'll be in the tournament, but I do not think they'll be pushing for a protected seed. If anyone else does that, I suggest you look south to Austin.
Ooh. Well, look south to Austin. Tytel, what about south in Austin? Do you have a potential protected seed down there?
Right. It's weird to think of a team losing a lottery pick like Mo Bamba and coming back better than ever. Andrew Jones is the X factor. He's had problems with the wrist and the leukemia, and now he's got a fractured toe. Kid can't catch a break. I don't know if the team just, like, throws in the towel and says, my God, we've had all this bad stuff happen, or if they rally around him because they have a great backcourt. Kerwin Roach, 26 points in the loss to Nevada in the first round last year. Matt Coleman, 25 points in the loss to Nevada. And they have Elijah Mitrulong, whose brother Naz used to play at Iowa State. except in the front court, only Dylan Osikowski. He had 11 boards and they lost to Nevada. So they have a bunch of guys who can play. I'd like to see a little more in the front court, but the back court is solid. And because everybody else lost so much, Texas Tech did, West Virginia did, all these teams lost so much talent that maybe by default Texas can take over that third spot in the Big 12.
I think you could see a big year to Jericho Sims there too, if you look at talking the Texas front court. But Stalika, talking Texas, is there another team also in the state of Texas that you think is up there this year?
Not in the state of Texas, but I'm actually looking forward to is going to be Iowa State. They were actually dead last in what was a loaded Big 12, and they probably could have finished in the top half of some other conferences. They're still going to have a decent core of guys returning, including Lindell Wigginton, Cameron Lard, Nick Weller-Babb, Zoran Talley, and I believe Muriel Shayok is also going to be eligible for the Cyclones this year.
Ex-Cavalier there, Juby, yeah.
Shayok should be – if Shayok has learned how to dribble, he's going to be a really good contributor to them. I mean, he learned to be a pretty good spot-up shooter. Jesperson also was a transfer for them that worked out quite well. And we'll see. I think that's not a bad call by Stalika that Iowa State's going to move upward. But I still, especially in right, Mr. Tytel, Jones is a key at Texas. But I'm still looking at Austin. And I know where I think you were going, but I'll let someone answer. Jalen Fisher, perhaps?
Go ahead, Tytel. Did you want to respond?
In terms of TCU, or
let's go there. Let's talk TCU. Let's talk about the fact that Pittsburgh made one of the great coaching decisions of all time, as we can see by how well they have done. But how about the job Jamie Dixon has done there? TCU, NIT, 2 years ago, NCAA tournament. The Horned Frogs have not made back-to-back NCAA tournaments in over 50 years, Tytel. Think they can do it this year?
Excellent stat. The backcourt is solid with Alex Robinson, Desmond Bain, and a healthy Jalen Fisher, I hope. Front court, they lost too many players. And instead of bringing in a McDonald's All-American, interestingly, I think that Dixon's best recruit is one of his assistant coaches.
That's some good trivia there, because even when Billy Tubbs was coaching at TCU in the late 90s, I guess they didn't make back-to-back tournaments then either.
Yeah, and for those of you that don't know what Tytel's referring to there in terms of assistant coaches is another guy who was fired for no reason whatsoever, Scott Cross from Texas Arlington on
what
the bench.
What a stupid decision that was by Arlington. Anyway.
But David, how about the TCU team, or do you see somebody else that you think is going to be up here in the top half dozen of the Big 12?
TCU and another team from Texas is Texas Tech. It just seems like in recent years they've always done better than what we thought. Like, I don't know how high we were on either one of them going in the last year, and they both ended up having really big years. So while I'm not predicting it, it's not going to shock me if one or both of those end up being really good again.
I think it's also safe to bet that TCU is going to be the only Power 5 program that's going to be playing a non-D1 team on the road. They're going to be part of the Diamond Head Classic in Hawaii, but after this Christmas tournament, they will actually be playing at a Hawaii Pacific out of the Pac-West Conference.
Well, Slick, let me stick with you on Texas Tech for a second. I think that they only returned two of their top eight scorers, but an interesting transfer coming over in Matt Mooney, who had 18 points a game for South Dakota. Where do you see them? Do you see Texas Tech getting back in the field?
Well, they also get Tariq Owens from St. John's. It's also going to be eligible, but it's a good thing because you're also not going to have very much experience. You'll have Culver, Moretti that are going to be coming back, but I think in the Big 12, it's going to be asking a lot for the Red Raiders to make a return to postseason this year.
Well, We have not yet mentioned the guy who was on my screen at the start of the show, his former team at least, at Titel, the Oklahoma Sooners. No more Trey Young stat lines, no more Trey Young stat trackers this year. How about the rest of the team, whatever's left there?
So the rest of the team is decent. I love Jamuni McNeese in the middle. He set a school record last year, over 67% from the field, and another solid front court player in Brady Manick. I love Lon Kruger as a coach. All he does is get every single team he has to the NCAA tourney. The downside is losing the greatest college basketball player who never was named Player of the Year in Trae Young, the NBA. Number two, the schedule. Notre Dame, Wichita State, USC, Creighton, Northwestern, Vandy, good luck. And number three, I was very excited for transfer Aaron Calix from Maine after graduating from the northeasternmost state in the union. I was less excited last month after he was cited for possession of drug paraphernalia.
You mentioned Oklahoma's schedule, but you don't mention the first two games. At Texas Rio Grande Valley, at UT San Antonio, is this a homecoming for some of their roster players, or are they being punished for an early round exit last year?
I tell you, it's not a bad little trip. San Antonio, a very nice city. But Joby, how about the Oklahoma Sooners? I know you had a few thoughts on them too, I think.
I mean, I really, you know, they're an interesting team because they do return most of their pieces, but they don't return most of their scoring, assists, et cetera, because of Trae Young. I don't know if the parts can make up for what happened with Young. It really, you know, this is one where the lazy fan might just be right. You know, the lazy fan's going, oh, they lost Trae Young, they must stink now. But they're actually returning a lot of people. But I'm not, I mean, it's not like Latin is there either. So it's, I think they're in trouble, and they could really, what happened the second half of the year could
4-12 to end the season.
Could be the story of the entire year.
Yeah, 4-12 to end the season with Trae Young. That's my problem with Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. David, how about Baylor?
Not as big on them. I wouldn't surprise me if they like got close to the bubble and maybe landed inside it, but they're not one of the teams that I'm that big on this year. They just don't have it.
To steal a line from the puppet, if this were a Nintendo, they have basically hit the reset button over the off season.
Titel, they have an interesting Ivy League transfer there, though, at Baylor, and a guy that was a real good player at Yale but then couldn't get on the court healthy the last couple seasons, in McKay Mason.
I'm glad you brought up the healthy angle because that's important. Because the team doctors at Baylor already had to go through this with one senior guard, King McClure. 3 years ago, he was told his career was over due to a heart condition. Good news, it's not. Mason comes over from New Haven. He's missed most of the last 2 years with foot injuries. But if there's any doctor in college basketball who can help, it's the Baylor doctor.
All right.
I'm going to go see him. I need a new liver.
My sister was born at Baylor Hospital, so, you know, they can get – they did okay there.
although, I think it's at some points last season – all 10 teams had a little bit of NCAA tournament life from the Big 12. The one that probably had the least chance was Oklahoma State. And, Joby, how about them this year? Does the Cowboys have anything?
No.
Nope.
Lindy Waters. But Lindy Waters is a good player. He's one of a couple of guys returning, and I thought he was maybe their best player last year. And so they'll have something, but the problem that I see is – I think the entire conference will be down percent. You know, down from, you know, 9 teams competing for the bid. Yeah. You know, of course, that's a big drop. It'll come back down to normal, which means the guys at the very bottom, or the guys who you're talking about possibly making it, Oklahoma State being first and foremost, that barely missed out of a tournament bid last year, or Baylor, et cetera. They won't be getting – if all of a sudden you go out and you beat Texas Tech this year, you're not beating a tournament team. Yeah, you're beating an NIT team at best. And that will have a domino effect to where, boy, you better beat one of the Kansas schools if you want to think about dancing, or Texas, if in my, you know, prognostication world.
Well, Tytel, do you, who is the best player in this conference this year then?
I don't think it's a Kansas player, even though they have several candidates. I'm going with Lindell Wigginton out of Iowa State. As a freshman, he started all 31 games. He has a 38-inch vertical leap. He's from Canada. I don't think he's as good as RJ Barrett, but he could be the best scorer in the Big 12, which, as we've said, was the best conference in the nation. I'm going with the Canadian.
You're going with Wigginton. I think that Dedrick Lawson, it's tough for you. You've got to pick a Lawson. I'm going with Dedrick Lawson, though, out of Kansas. I think that he will end up shining there. Joby, what about you? What do you think?
I'll go with Dean Wade. I mentioned that I really like him. Will there be enough balls to go around if Snead breaks out, you know, that I hinted at? But he's going to be their leading rebounder. He's going to be probably the leading scorer for the number two team. And I think Kansas is so deep that I don't see anyone approaching. I don't think anyone will be over 15 points for Kansas just because they're going to be all – I mean, they're so deep. I mean, what makes them so good also hurts them from having someone break out. Whereas the Kansas State guys have a triumvirate with one who is, I think, a little ahead of everybody else.
David, you want to break the tie? Tell us who the conference player of the year is going to be.
Interesting. Like, I don't know. I defer to the experts on individual okay. players.
All right. So you're saying that I was right. Thank you. But
who did you pick?
I picked Dedrick Lawson.
No, it's not him.
No.
I mean, I was going to pick him, but then when you did, forget it.
On that note, let me go through each of you here. Sleek, let me start with you. Same question we ask with all these conferences is, who is your champion and how many bids?
Well, until someone knocks them off, I'm going to say Kansas is the champion. And don't be looking for me to settle the tie between MVP either, because I think if Jalen Fisher stays healthy and TCU was able to make a nice run, he could also get some most outstanding player in the Big 12. But as far as the number of bids go, I think we're probably going to end up with six this year with Kansas State leading the way.
Yeah, it's a down year, only six.
Yep. TCU and Texas should both get in along with West Virginia. And I think Iowa State will make a return to the tournament, but wouldn't surprise me if one of the bottom four teams were able to sneak in if they're somehow able to make hay non-conference and other chaos happens in other places, but more likely six for me.
I got to tell you, I agree with you exactly on the same six teams even, but Joby, what about you? What? Yeah. How many teams? And I'm not even going to bother asking any of you who's going to win the conference, because that's a waste.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we've all answered the question on this call already. Yeah. I agree on the six teams. I do not see the bottom four making a charge. You can call me out later if all of a sudden a Texas Tech, which is the most realistic of those four, makes a run. I think that the lack of strength, it's what I said during the Oklahoma State comments, I think that domino effect is going to be felt, and it could even hurt Iowa State's chances, though I think they'll be strong enough to make it out. It'll be what they do out of conference against other Iowa schools. Could be a big factor.
David, what about you? How many teams?
Yeah, I think it's a down year to where in the opening round, we don't see any NCAA tournament teams out of the Big 12 in the first round of the conference tournament, which is, you know, not been the case in the last couple of years. Like, only six. I mean, it just goes to show you how well this conference is played. And we used to criticize the teams for always getting seeded well and getting a lot in, but not doing well in the NCAA tournament. Well, after last year, I think that's been silenced. But yeah, I can't really. I think it's going to be six, and I think it's going to be those same six. And I kind of like Kansas this year to win the league.
Tytel, you want to make this unanimous?
Yeah, I kind of want to go with five teams just because I think that each team lost so much last year to the draft, but. I can go six. I don't think seven is that likely. And, of course, the Jayhawks do rock it and chalk it.
All right. Well, Tytel, let me stick with you. Any other final thoughts about the Big 12?
If you're going to stick with me, I'm going to stick with the champ. So You mentioned Dedrick Lawson correctly as an amazing player. This is kind of like a situation with the Martin twins, but a little different. So Caleb and Cody Martin, twins at a power conference school, NC State, both transferred to Nevada and immediately make the team fantastic. A little different in terms of we have a pair of twin brothers, Dedrick and KJ Lawson, but they're going from a mid-major, Memphis, to a high-major, Kansas. So they don't have to be the superstars because you already got these McDonald's All-Americans like Quentin Grimes and these established stars like Vic and Azubuike. However, I think it could be a perfect storm where they're going to each bring – the team's going to bring them up and they're going to bring the team up. And I think this is a legit national championship contender. And if they win it all, it is going to be heavily on the shoulders of the 2016 AAC Rookie of the Year in Dedrick and the 2017 AAC Rookie of the Year in KJ. Yes, they were twins. Yes, they were Rookie of the Year in different years. Don't worry about the math. It happened.
I just make one comment. Coming from a major, the American is promoting themselves as being a Power 6 conference. So, I just, you know.
They're wrong.
You have to have a little conversation with them there. Haven't you heard about the Power 6? But, Joe, your thoughts.
You know, what's interesting when you look at this conference is you could make an argument that the best player on a lot of the teams are transfers. That you could make the argument. You know, you mentioned Mason, you mentioned the Lawsons, Tariq Owens. I think you can make a very strong case as the or Matt Mooney. I mean, take your pick at Texas Tech. It's interesting how it's the Big 12 where incoming transfers are giving such an infusion, particularly at the bottom half of the Big 12. If any of these teams are going to make a run, you've already heard me say I don't think they will, but if they are, it will be transfers that kind of pop out of nowhere that will be responsible for it. Very interesting.
Yes, very interesting. Stalika.
There was one other number we also need to throw out for Kansas. With their conference title last year, it was their 29th consecutive winning season in conference play. You have to go back to 1989 when they last had a losing record in the Big Eight. The only other team that has a longer streak than Kansas, and that is my Xavier Musketeers, who have not had a losing season in conference play since 1982.
Wow, I didn't know that. Wow.
There's your stat of the night. But, David, why don't you finish yourself with any other final thoughts on the Big 12?
Kansas, again, I think we've said enough about them. I agree they're ranked number one national title contender. But two other stories in the conference in recent years have been, you know, the job Jamie Dixon has done at TCU, completely turning around the team with virtually no history, no enthusiasm. Like, it used to be you turned on the games, there'd be nobody there. They're sold out or close to it every night. A lot of energy there, just a complete change in culture. And then the job, how about Chris Beard at Texas Tech? I know it sounds crazy to say that, like, a guy that coached a team to the Elite Eight isn't getting enough respect on a national level, but he really isn't. I mean, they were bad when he took over. There was a reason the job kind of opened. And again, another school with, while it has some history, not a lot, they were winning last year at a level that I don't ever recall them winning at before. And nobody was expecting that when the season started. So it's just been fun to watch the success of those two programs. And hopefully we'll see. Yeah.
Yeah, it has been, and I got to give a final shout out here to a coach that I put down for years and years and years, and has really proven me wrong the last few years. I did apologize last year. I've turned around on him, but the job that Bruce Weber's been doing at Kansas State, I got to take my hat off to him, and I now have given him credit as being a damn good coach. So, but on that note, I do want to thank everybody for joining us for this Big 12 podcast. We got John Titel, John Slica, Joby Fortson, David Griggs here. We'll be back again real soon with a lot more preseason coverage. So keep an eye on the website, and we will talk to you again soon.